Just a quick show of hands. Who here has been baptized? Just a quick show of hands. Okay. Many of us. If not, well, definitely most of us. Baptism is a strange thing. Would you agree? Yeah? Do you do that water ritual very often in your life, except at church? It's not normal. I mean, we do a water ritual in our homes, I hope, very regularly. But this ritual we do here in baptism is a strange one. It's an odd one. It's not regular. It's irregular. It's something we don't do often, but we can do it as much as we want. It's something you're only supposed to do once per person, but you can always renew your baptism by touching water and making baptism public. What am I saying here? Baptism is strange. And if you were to ask me, what is baptism? What does baptism mean? I would be able to give you the theological answer and end the conversation. Baptism is this, let us pray. But I don't think that's helpful. I think it's probably more helpful for us to wonder what baptism is for the next 2 months by wondering what baptism is like. What does it offer us? What does it do for us? What happens to us when we are baptized? And I'd like to do it by relating it to the stories that we will be hearing through this season. So for instance, I want to consider that the journey of the Magi is like living the baptized life. Okay, we're going to take the story of the Magi, and we're going to wonder how it might relate to the baptized life. Can we try that? So, in the baptized life, when someone comes and is baptized, often a little baby, but sometimes adults are too, right? Yep. We sprinkle water on them, and we say, now you are going to live differently. Now you have come from one spot and you're going to go to another spot. In the same way with the Magi, isn't it? The Magi came from the east and they started a spiritual journey following a star. They did not know where they were going to end up, but they knew they were compelled to start a journey. So it is in baptism. We don't know what our baptism in life is or where our baptismal life is going to take us, but baptism is the start of a wonderful spiritual journey, just like the Magi started a wonderful spiritual journey. And according to artists and people who wondered about the Magi and where they came from, this wonderful spiritual journey probably for the most part led them through a very hot desert. Sometimes that's like the baptismal life as well. We start a wonderful spiritual journey and immediately we're in a desert. A dry place which is hot under the sun, a cold place which is cold under the moon. It's a difficult life. It's a wonderful life. It's a difficult life. I wonder how the Magi felt as they were journeying through the desert under the hot sun. Is it worth continuing following the star? I wonder, as the Magi maybe had clouds obscure the star that they first saw, if they wondered, is it worth continuing this spiritual journey? And I wonder you, as you imagine your life as following the Christ, following Jesus, following God on a spiritual journey, I wonder if you ever come into deserts and wonder, is it worth continuing? Deserts come in all shapes and sizes, don't they? Deserts come when that feeling we had when we first saw that star, when we first had that glimpse of Jesus, when we first became part of a community and everything is just wonderful and everything feels good, and then the desert starts. Oh, the desert of St. Dunstan's starts. The desert of living a Christian life starts. And maybe you've wondered, is it worth carrying on? Is it worth reading that Bible thing? Is it worth coming and having bread and wine? Is it worth coming here and having coffee? Is it worth coming Is it worth carrying on? And the baptismal life asks this question, will you continue? And even in the desert, we are called to respond, we will with God's help. Deserts are no places to stop. Deserts are places to keep going. What happens when you stop in a desert? Exactly. And so the Magi continue on their journey. They're still following the star. Maybe it's a little fainter than it was at the very beginning, but they're still following the star. They're still traveling through the desert, and they come to a big city where the star seems to lead them, and they go to a palace where they're trying to find what has been drawing them, what has been compelling them to continue walking through their journey, and they come to a city, and that city is filled with fear. And it's filled with leaders who are seeking to control and to manipulate. And I wonder if this is your experience in the baptized life too. Everything was great. You came, you were baptized, you entered into a new relationship with maybe a community, a church, and that church was filled with leaders who were afraid of you and your gifts, or that church was filled with leaders who wanted to control you and control who God was for you and control and manipulate you to believe the way they wanted you to believe. Has this been an experience for any of you? It has for me. Many times the baptized life, as it draws us into deeper and deeper community, from time to time, we are confronted with leaders, with communities, with ways of understanding God and the world which just try to control us. I'll tell you who God is, says King Herod and his followers. Yeah, sure, go away and do your little thing, but you better come back here, and I will tell you whether that little thing you saw was good or bad. Oh, yeah, make sure you pray, but make sure you pray the way I'm telling you to pray. Make sure you believe in God, but make sure you believe in the God I'm telling you to believe in. Make sure you read Scripture, but make sure you also only understand Scripture the way I'm telling you to understand Scripture. You see that Herod stuff? That's all based on our connection to leaders who are just so afraid. They're so afraid. We're so afraid of God that we need to control God. And we need to control our communities. And even in the face of that, even as this person right in front of you tries to control you, God is asking, will you continue? And you will say, and sometimes that means turning away from me. You take what I say with a grain of salt, right? Yes. You take what religious leaders on the television say with a grain of salt, right? You meditate on it. You discern. You make sure that it resonates with your heart. You don't just go swallowing it. What's the phrase? Hook, line, and... Because what happens to something that has swallowed something hook, line, and sinker? You eat them. They're dead. We don't stop in deserts because we die, and we don't swallow things hook, line, and sinker because we die. We continue. We carry on. We carry on. That's the baptismal life, is carrying on. And so the Magi, they continue, they leave the town. They took what they needed from the leaders of that town. They took some inspiration even from Holy Scripture. They took some direction from those leaders. Maybe those leaders were leading in fear, but God can overwhelm a leader who is leading in fear, and you can still be fed good food by a leader who's leading in fear, but you just take what you need and you carry on, because the destination is not there. The destination is still in front of them. They're trying to find Jesus. And so they keep walking. They come to this town called Bethlehem. And Bethlehem is Spuzzum, BC, okay? They come to Bethlehem. And there in Spuzzum, they find the ruler of the universe. There they find the king of the world. Not in that institution behind them, but in that unremarkable place in front of them. They find Jesus there, and it's unlike the God that they were told would find them. They were told that this creator God is so strong and mighty and comes with 10,000 angels, and they find a baby. They find a child. They were told that this God rules over all the earth and fashions everything with one word, and they find a child who can't even speak, can't move its limbs on its own, can't lift its neck up. They find God in a surprising way. And that's kind of like the baptized life as well. We find God in surprising places. And if we're diligent, we can find God probably everywhere. Yes, we come to this beautiful building, and I think we can come with expectation that we will discover God as we meditate on baptism, as we receive bread and wine, as we listen to Holy Scripture. Yeah, we can depend upon that, but do you know what? We can even find God outside of these walls. We can find God on a labyrinth. We can find God on a highway. We can find God in the grocery store. We can find God in school and at work. Wherever we are, we can find God. If you look. If you look, you will find it. That's right, Linda. So the Magi find Christ. And what do they do when they find Christ? Well, they give their gifts. They give themselves. They give what they have to Christ. And that's the calling for the baptized life too, where we are called to come and offer ourselves to God, offer what we have to Jesus. I don't know what it is that you have. Maybe you have energy to help people who are hungry. So Thursday meal might be the thing, or the soup kitchen at the food bank. Maybe that's something you have to offer. Maybe you have a passion for teaching people who are new to this country to learn how to speak English, right? Maybe that is a gift you have and a passion you have. Maybe you have a passion to ensure that this space here is well cared for and stars are hung and tables are set and lawns are mowed. Maybe that's your gift. Maybe you have passion to be on parish council. Maybe you have a passion for new ministry and new ideas. I don't know what gifts you have. God knows what gifts you have. And I would love to know what gifts you have. And then this wonderful ending to this story, which I think is key to the baptismal life as we look at it through the lens of the story of the Magi. They are compelled to follow the star that takes them through a desert, the star that takes them through an institution maybe filled with fear, and a star that takes them to Jesus in surprising places. And then there's this amazing line. And then the Magi left for home using a different path. Baptism will always lead us onto new paths. Maybe I'll use it this way. Baptism will always mean that when you come to church, the chairs will be in different places. Baptism means that your future is different than your past. Baptism means that we are not confined to what's behind us, but we're invited to see what's in front of us. Baptism means that the fear that might have drawn us and helped us along the way is there, and joy and wonder and love is in front of us. Baptism means that we might have to go through the desert again, but maybe using a different path. I wonder where God is taking you. And I mean that individually. I wonder where God is taking each of us individually. If you've been baptized, I wonder how you lived your life at work. I wonder how you lived your life in your neighborhood. I wonder how you lived your life in your family and with your friends differently. But then even more excitingly than individually, as a corporate body. We don't know how many Magi there were. We say three because there was gold, frankincense, and myrrh, right? but there could be there could have been 1,000. Because the baptismal life is never a solitary journey. You're always with a community. I wonder where God is taking this community. I wonder what new, exciting ways on the cusp of a brand new year, I wonder what new things, what new paths God is leading us on. Maybe I have some ideas, but maybe you have some ideas too. Will you continue? Will you continue? Well, what if it goes through a desert? Will you continue? What if I start being afraid of something and I'm trying to control you? Will you continue? What if you find Jesus where you don't expect Jesus? Will you continue? What if some demand is made upon you to offer service and gifts to the community? Will you continue? That one was quieter. That one was quieter. What if God is calling us to a new path, unfamiliar places, places where we cannot depend on what we've depended on before? Will we continue? Would you stand as you're able? Dear children of God, do you believe in God the Father, Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? If so, say, we believe with God's help.
We believe.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, who descended to the dead, on the third day who rose again and ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, who will come again to judge the living and the dead? If so, say, we believe with God's help. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting? If so, say, we believe with God's help.
We believe with God's help.
And now, will you continue in the apostles' teaching, in gathering together in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in praying? If so, say, we will with God's help. Let us pray.
For our prayers and intercessions, you are invited to assume a prayerful position. When you hear the plea, Lord, in your mercy, please respond with, hear our prayer. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving God, we gather as your people this morning, seeking your presence. In this Epiphany season of light, we ask that you shine your light upon us. We pray you will renew us in the spirit of our minds, that you will renew us inwardly, that you will make us alive in you. Thank you for the new things you will do in our lives. We pray that you will restore our souls and lead us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of grace and healing, Shine your light upon us as we turn back to you. Create in us clean hearts and renew a steadfast spirit within us, that we may not conform to this world's ways, but that we may prove what your good, acceptable, and perfect will is. Restore to us the joy of your salvation and uphold us by your generous spirit. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of power and mercy, shine your light upon us. You create us by your power and redeem us by your love. Guide and strengthen us by your Spirit, that we may give ourselves today in love and service to one another and to you. We pray for our sisters and brothers who are unable to be with us this morning due to sickness, distance, or death. Show them your kindness and grace. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of goodness, we thank you for the light that shines, the light that we see in the glory and wonder of your creation. Thank you for the light that shines through this community and its members, young and old, who remind us of your presence in tears and laughter, teaching and learning, work and play. We pray for those preparing for baptism, that they may be strengthened in the faith. Shine upon us your light, around us, within us, that we may continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer, that we too may be a light to the world. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O God of light and peace, whose glory, shining in the child of Bethlehem, still draws the nations to yourself, dispel the darkness that shrouds our path, that we may come to kneel before Christ in true worship. Offer him our hearts and souls, and return from his presence to live as he taught. May our lives reflect your light day by day, as we seek to serve where you have placed us, that we might be the means through which others can encounter Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Amen.
Amen. As you're able, would you please stand? Dear children of God, the peace of God be always with you.
Also with you.
Let's turn and share a sign of peace with our neighbor. Back in peace of Christ.